my heart love till now? Forswear its sight, for I ne'er saw true beauty till this night.
Some of life's greatest romances begin instantly. Love at first sight. You see your person through a crowd, at a party, on the bus. Eye contact. A spark. The clouds part. The lightning bolt strikes. The nervous laughter, the heart palpitations. You're no longer in control. You're being pulled somewhere. Is this a stroke?
Get carried away with these and just spend your whole time just painting happy little tree branches and stuff.
You're floating. Time stops. The world consists of you, your love, puppy dogs, ice cream, and rainbows. There is nothing else but this. You just know it was all meant to be.
My bounty is as boundless as the sea, my love as deep. The more I give to thee, the more I have, for both are infinite.
Boy, this is going to be a mean-looking old seascape. The storm is coming. You better get out your wading boots if you live close to the ocean.
But more often than not, love takes time to blossom. Sometimes it takes a third or maybe a seventh look for love to really get cooking.
Somebody's at home. Maybe they got dinner cooking. We don't know.
Here's the story of two certified Ross instructors who took their time and found themselves returning to each other, all while having separate love affairs with Bob Ross.
Okay, and with that, let's have some fun. What the heck? What the heck?
Have you ever walked into your parents' bedroom and caught them doing something you didn't think they'd be doing? Nick Hankins has. Only when Nick walked in on his folks, Bob Ross was there.
But sometimes they need a little help. And they do. I jump right in there. I like to play with them. I like to watch them.
In my mom and dad's bedroom on their television, on top of their dresser, I caught 10-15 minutes, like the last half of the show.
Okay, well, maybe Nick and I didn't have the same experience.
I've always liked watching things develop. I liked watching Mr. Rogers and seeing things develop, how things were made.
And you made
Hello.
You made a puppet. Is that clever? And then you can paint on the eyes.
Yes.
Konnichiwa. Yes.
The fuzzy-haired painter guy little Nicky saw on Mom and Dad's TV set was doing the same thing, making things, and making things happen.
This is your world, so you make it happen. You make it happen.
And then Bob washed the brush.
Shake him off. This is the fun part. That's crazy. Now then, I get carried away with his brush cleaning.
That's cool. And I remember going downstairs and finding a paintbrush in my dad's toolbox, and he had like a drafting table in the basement.
Wash the brush one more time. Knock that off, and we're ready.
And he had a kitchen bar stool in front of the drafting table, and I found one of his paintbrushes, and I was beating the devil out of the paintbrush on the bar stool leg.
So that was the thing.
My first memory.
Okay, so it wasn't about, oh man, I want to paint a landscape. It's like, I want to beat the devil out of the brush like that guy on TV that I just saw. Okay, that's an interesting entry point. I like that.
And quickly, Nick's passion for Bob's painting method began to develop.
You see it a few times. You're a kid, you're playing, you forget about it. And then I came back and found him again during the summer of 1993. I was 11 years old.
Welcome back. I'm so glad you could join us again this week.
Nick's parents worked full-time, so he spent a lot of time at his grandmother's house.
Mama didn't have cable television. She enjoyed her stories, soap operas.
There's so much going on here, man, that you don't begin to understand. Oh, I understand, all right. You're playing with people's lives. I need to have Nicky in my life.
One day, Mama made a fateful decision to step away from her stories, perhaps to make a Reuben or a tuna fish sandwich.
She had disappeared for a minute, so I seized the opportunity to like flip through the channels. Found out Bob comes on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon every weekday.
It could be noon if you want it to be noon, or it can be late in the afternoon, early in the morning. When you're painting, you use that artist's license. It says you can do anything, and you have to make these fantastic decisions.
Fortunately for Nick, Mama had another TV in the house.
The funny thing was, it was a black and white TV. It was like rabbit ears full kit. So I'd sneak off in there and turn Bob on and watch him in black and white.
Yeah, that's
ironically. But
Nick didn't have any paint, so he grabbed a pad and pen and started drawing along with Bob.
At some point, his hypnosis worked, as it has worked with a lot of people. You can do this. Just have fun. Believe in yourself.
And half of painting is just being confident. Just believe in yourself. Believe that you can do it. Because you can. You really can. You can do anything.
And I had convinced myself by July that I could, and I started saving money. And then by the end of August or mid-August of that year, I had enough to buy a basic Bob Ross basic paint set.
Okay, stop the music. This is the part where Nick Hankins is supposed to say, "And then my world changed forever." And he does. Nick Hankins says exactly that.
My world changed forever.
But why? How did watching a man paint on television turn 11-year-old Nick Hankins into the Nick Hankins we all know and love today? Oh, you don't know Nick Hankins?
Welcome to the painting studio. I'm Nicholas Hankins, and I'm a certified Bob Ross instructor. I'm so glad you could join me for a demonstration of the Bob Ross wet-on-wet painting technique.
Of all the CRIs keeping the Bob Ross dream alive, Nick is the one doing it in front of the cameras. We'll get to that later. Why was little Nicky starting to have big Bob Ross dreams?
I wish he was our neighbor. I wish I could go talk to him. You know, it was like he genuinely wanted to just be your friend.
Okay, we'll give him a little friend. Everybody needs a friend.
At 11, I felt that.
Make friends with it, whatever it takes, but work it one at a time, one at a time. You get in a hurry, it starts feeling good.
What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet.
While Nick Hankins was being hypnotized, just a few miles down the road in rural Tennessee, a young girl named Ada was making a similar discovery at her grandparents' house.
Meemaw and Pappy's. I would be at Meemaw and Pappy's. I always spent the night.
Wait, another Meemaw? Must be a Tennessee thing. I just hope I can keep track.
They'd have the TV on, and it was, and again, like he said with his, you know, they didn't have cable. You got there, and you pretty much watched PBS or the news. That was it, and of course, Meemaw would watch her stories.
A Mamaw and a Meemaw who loved their stories. Nick's Mamaw was into Guiding Light. Ada's Meemaw watched The Young and the Restless. Me, I've always been more of a Days of Our Lives man. To each their own. After all that Young and Restlessness, it was time for Ada and her Meemaw to chill out with Bob.
The way to learn how to paint is to be relaxed and enjoy and just let it go. Things work better for you when you're relaxed and you're really happy with what you're doing.
And it was fascinating. I loved watching it, but it was years before I tried it.
Wait a minute. There was one time Ada tried to paint along with Bob. But to make it happen, little Ada would have to do it on the sly. Ada's mom was an artist, so painting supplies were accessible, if you knew where to find them. And young Ada knew, and wasn't shy about grabbing what she needed right before the joy of painting came on. Ada didn't think that painting came out so great.
But I loved it. I loved it. It was like, you know, I'd watched him for years at Meemaw and Pappy's, and I was probably about 9 or 10 at this point. And I remember sitting in front of that TV in my bedroom with the door closed. And mom's stolen paint and brushes.
Was that why the door was closed?
Yes.
Is that you didn't want to get caught?
Absolutely. Like, yes, because I was not allowed to touch it.
I thought maybe, like, I don't want mom to, you know, mom's a professional. I don't want her to see my work.
No, I was not allowed to touch those.
Be careful that you don't get carried away.
So two young Bob Ross fans who both wind up becoming certified Ross instructors are living a few miles away from each other in rural Tennessee. They're close in age. I'm probably going to tell you that they meet at a mixer or a party or the local candy store or at a school dance, right?
If I profane with my unworthiest hand this holy shrine, the gentle fine is this. My lips, two blushing pilgrims ready stand to smooth that rough touch with a tender kiss.
Now, very gently, you can smooth all that out so it's as smooth as velvet. Very, very smooth.
Well, I mean, I knew he existed. I've known his parents
Oh, you did?
My entire life.
It was like Santa Claus. I knew she was there, but I'd never seen her.
Yeah. Really? No, I knew his parents. His mom and my dad graduated high school together, so they had gone all through school together.
Okay, so their parents are friends. Childhood friends. It's only natural these two are going to fall in love, right? Right?
Can you see what's happening right in there? And sometimes it'll take a minute or two for it to come up. But you'll get little spots. It's just so pretty.
Back when cameras was cameras, Nick had a job working for his dad, Jerry, at a little shop called the Film Box. A place for artistic folks and weekend warrior photographers to get their film developed. Ada's artist mom was one of those folks. And she would often drop into the Film Box with her daughter in tow to do some business with her friend, Jerry.
And remarkably, I was at the shop all the time, but I was never there when she came in with her mother.
Amazingly enough.
Fate. Yeah.
So you were both just kind of like these mythic figures that you had, like you said, Santa Claus. Does he exist?
Yeah.
Is there a Nick Hankins?
But eventually, finally, two worlds collide. Maybe now?
Okay, so the first time that I actually met Nick, he doesn't remember it. That's why he can't tell the story.
It's fleeting. Because, I recall.
No, he can't remember it. But that's okay.
Come, night. Come, Romeo. Come, thou day in night. For thou wilt lie upon the wings of night, whiter than new snow upon a raven's back.
Pretty heavy on the crimson, though.
One of the women's clubs in the town that we grew up in has like a Christmas festival kind of thing, you know, where you go and you buy crafts and that sort of thing. And so mom and I had gone. I had just gotten back from, I just graduated from uni in London and just gotten back from that for a few months. And I'd gone with mom.
These are beautiful paintings to give to, if you have a young friend, this is a super painting for a young friend. Because this looks like something right out of a fairy tale if you do it right.
It's like a two-level in the
gymnasium
there where they would set it up. And we were on the top level, and mom had looked down, and she saw Nick's dad, Jerry. And she said, oh, Jerry's down there. We should go talk to him. And I was like, oh, yeah, let's go talk to Jerry. So we went down there and talked to Jerry. And as we're talking to him, Nick comes in. He obviously had been sent to get something and had forgotten something and came back and, yeah, hi, how are you? And boom, he's gone.
Parting is such sweet sorrow that I shall say good night till it be morrow.
Be right back. Don't go away.
And this isn't a few years after high school that these two finally come together. This is decades later.
So I guess it wasn't meant to be until this point, right?
Apparently.
Do you believe in that?
You know what's crazy is we found out, like after we got to know each other, we found out, you know, we had gone to probably the same parties. Like, we had so many of the same friends. We'd go to the same parties at the same places. We even went to concerts in other states.
That far apart.
I mean, yeah. It's like we just constantly were just passing by each other. But yeah, and that's kind of what happened then. We just kind of passed by each other. But
I should add here, too, that her hair was dark at the time.
It was.
She looked almost like a different person.
I did look a bit different, yeah.
Two ships painting in the night.
That's it.
Okay, so fine. Dark-haired Ada looked different. Nick was distracted by his work. But surely at some point, there was magic.
You meet in a gymnasium for half a second, it sounds like.
Yep.
And that was it. And Ada's like, man, I'm going to marry that guy someday.
Not quite, you know.
Come, gentle knight. Come, loving, black-browed knight. Give me my Romeo.
And in our world, everything is happy. Everything is peaceful and quiet and gentle.
When things are meant to be, they're meant to be. But sometimes nudges are needed. Interjections. Could be from a friend or a relative, co-worker. Or fate's messenger could always be Bob Ross.
Let that come right on back. Like so. See? And just bring it all together.
Soon after Nick grunted towards Ada at the craft fair, she returned to London. And while she was there, even if she wasn't connecting with Nick, Ada was still touching base with Bob.
You know, this was 12 years ago, and I had shared a post, maybe, from the Bob Ross Facebook, or I had just shared a Bob, but it was a Bob quote that I had shared, and I would do that occasionally, because, I mean, who doesn't share Bob quotes and love Bob,
right.
You know?
Step back and look at your painting ever so often. It gives you gives you a whole different view of it. Sometimes when you're painting, you stay too close to it and you really can't see it. Step back.
Ada was friends with Nick's mom on Facebook.
His mom saw it and thought, oh, she's into Bob Ross. She and Nick should be friends on Facebook. So she suggested, because of that Bob Ross post, she suggested that we become friends on Facebook. And so we did. And
thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Bob. Exactly.
Okay. Maybe he's got a friend right here. Don't want him to get lonely. Everybody needs a friend, even a little tree.
We became friends, and he was the only one who got all my weird, random references to Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, and wow. You know, my respect level for you just notched up a level. Let's watch Mitchell. Let's go watch.
Mitchell. Yeah. We actually watched that the other night.
A little peek into Mitchell's life.
Even though they're now a continent away, things start to develop between Ada and Nick. Sure, it's mostly over a shared love of robots heckling bad movies. But hey, it's a start. And a few years later, Ada finds herself back in the States, in Tennessee, where Nick is holding an art show.
And he sent me an invite. And I said to Mom,
I was smitten.
See how she leans her cheek upon her hand. Oh, that I were a glove upon that hand, that I might touch that cheek.
It just will get where it looks almost like velvet.
Nick and Ada hadn't seen each other in person since that day at the craft fair. Up until now, they were technically acquaintances who were also online friends.
You probably did what most people do. You probably, you know, dug a little deeper once you found out who this person was.
I creeped her profile.
Yeah, okay, that you want to put it in that regards? That's
yes.
Frame it that way.
I'm not ashamed.
But soft. What light through yonder window breaks. It is the east, and Juliet is the sun.
Looked like a little happy sunlight playing through there.
The Arts Council in Greenville, Tennessee, had invited Nick to exhibit his art in their gallery space.
Mom and I went, and at that point I was smitten.
What satisfaction canst thou have tonight?
The exchange of thy love's faithful vow for mine.
Nick had finally won the heart of fair Ada. I guess?
Were numbers exchanged at that point?
She turned me down.
I did not turn him down. Now, I did. I always joke and say I blew him off.
Okay, what happened now?
He asked me out, and we were going.
Then a close friend of Ada's family pops in for a surprise visit.
And you know what surprise is? It's like when some monster sneaks up on you and goes, ah! You know, like that? And then you get surprised, right?
Couple of other friends were also in town, so everybody was going out together. And my mom said, well, you have to go. Everybody's together. You've got to come. So I called him or messaged. I called him or texted him. I can't remember. And said, you know, Possum. Everybody calls this guy Possum. I said, Possum was in early. I can't go.
Ada had come back home, only to blow Nick off for a possum.
Of course, anybody that talks to trees would certainly talk to raccoons and possums.
I felt so bad. Oh my God, I felt terrible. But I was like, oh God. And he had said to his mom, you know, oh yeah, we're not going. And his mom was like, oh, possum.
Oh, I am fortune's fool.
Don't let that little rascal fool you.
I hate that I didn't get to hang out with Nicholas sooner. And then
she knew I'd keep.
I guess. Well, I was kind of worried. He went to Taiwan after that, and I saw your mom like while you're in Taiwan. I was talking to his mom, and she's like, "Oh yeah, he's." I'm telling you what, those little girls in Taiwan. He's going to bring one of those back, and I thought he better not. I haven't gotten a chance to go out with him yet.
Timing is everything, and once Nick and Ada are both back in Tennessee, the stars decide to align.
3 months or so after that, he asked me out again, and thank God. And I was like, "Okay, I'm going this time."
Isn't that fantastic?
And finally, properly, Nick and Ada fall in love. They get married in Greenville.
And we hope we bring a little happiness into your life and give you some ideas. And you too will drag out your almighty brush and paint along with us.
All the while Nick was wooing, and sometimes not wooing Ada, he was painting. Sometimes for himself, but most of the time, he was a traveling Bob Ross painting instructor.
Every weekend I was somewhere, and then periodically throughout the year I'd go to trade shows or artist conventions. So I'd teach once a year. I'd teach in Las Vegas once a year. I'd teach in Houston. It was getting exhausting, but
It wasn't a question.
Talent is a pursued interest. In other words, anything that you're willing to practice, you can do. And this is no exception. But it's like driving the car. At first, it's a little difficult. You have to learn how to make your hands and your foot work together.
I loved it. I was also conscious of the fact that I needed to start getting some stabilization in my life because I couldn't just keep traveling.
Nick slowed down his travels. Eventually, that decision will land him at the Bob Ross Workshop in Florida and in front of the cameras teaching Bob fans to paint on the Bob Ross YouTube channel. So what drove Nick to get off the road but still stay on the path?
From the moment I bought that kit, I knew I wanted to be part of that Bob Ross world. I didn't know how. I didn't know in what capacity. I knew. It's weird to think about it now, but at 11 years old, I knew this was way more than just a hobby. I knew this was like a movement. Again, there's so many intangibles with Bob. I can't define it, but I felt it.
See there? It's very, very simple. Very simple. You'll love it. I promise. Sounds like a used car salesman. Trust me. Trust me.
And I knew there was a lot of good behind whatever this was he'd started. And I knew I wanted to be a part of it.
Being a certified Ross instructor is not just an adventure. It's a job. Nick has a responsibility to carry on Bob's legacy. Does it ever feel like too much?
You can't force a love for this. I had taught pretty regularly up until about 2004. And I took a little time off. I pursued some other passions from my childhood, notably steam locomotives. I worked on steam locomotives for a while.
A tough train, steel hauler, with a powerful locomotive hauling a long line of cars. Steel hauler and a giant crane that your child controls. Watch him hoist up that steel and go to it.
I had toy trains when I was a kid. I've certainly had some interesting times riding the New York City subway system. Nick's experience with locomotives was a little different.
Of course, we operated them. I shoveled coal. We shoveled about 3 or 4 tons of coal every day.
Wow.
During the summer.
Labor intensive.
Very much. And that was the fun part. The work came in the winter when we had to crawl into the boiler and into the firebox and needle scale all the
sounds just like
stuff
painting.
And it, yeah.
Nick's boss knew that Nick painted.
The circumstance came one day where I showed him some of my paintings and he was like, oh, you don't mean just like, you know, paint by number. He was like, you actually do this? And I was like, well, yeah, you know, I've got an art degree. And he said, we need to insure these fingers. Are you sure you want to keep doing this?
Nick loves trains, but he'd be loco not to want to keep his fingers. So he crawls out of the boiler and takes a job at a finance company to help make ends meet, waiting for his next adventure.
And I was, you know, in there processing loans and stuff, and I checked my email one day at lunch. This was maybe 2 years later. I got an email from one of my old students just out of the clear blue, and she was like, thank God I found you. I've been looking everywhere. Where are you? Where are you teaching now? We miss your classes so much. I mean, it was just this like she was just pouring her heart out, and it really hit me. I was like, I got a good thing going there, and I kind of have a responsibility to these people to go share what I know, because it was making them happy.
I think that's a fantastic philosophy to live by. You don't have to hurt anybody. Just rub the bottom of this. And you can make a lot of people happy.
Who am I to sit here and keep this bottled up and process loans?
Within a few weeks, Nick had set up another painting class. But what about Nick's job? What about those loans, those retirement funds? What about financial security? Nick has a meeting with a new supervisor to discuss his Bob Ross painting passion.
You know, after the door was closed, I kind of privately told him, I was like, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be here, and I don't want to waste your time. You know, I don't want you to go to a lot of trouble here, but here's what I'm doing, here's what I'm thinking. And he said, well, you know, how much are you making with these classes? And I told him, and he said, what's your overhead? And I told him, and he started typing in all these numbers, and he said, you know, if you did this every weekend, you'd make more doing this than you do here. And it wasn't long after that I started making plans.
Destiny rarely takes a straight line. Sometimes we even try to resist it. But Destiny and Bob Ross have other plans. And it didn't take long for Nick to step back onto Bob's path.
Welcome back. Certainly glad to see you today. You ready to do a fantastic little painting with me?
And ultimately, It put Nick Hankins on the path back to Ada.
Maybe back in here, there's just a happy little path. It comes right along here. Maybe on around, wherever you want it.
Ada works with Nick, helping him swell the ranks of Bob's army of certified instructors at the Bob Ross Art Workshop and Gallery in New Smyrna Beach.
It's our whole life. And if your whole life is going to be your work, oh my gosh, the best is sharing Bob and sharing joy with everybody. It makes our relationship joyful.
It brings a lot of joy to them. It's the reason we call this a joy of painting.
I mean, it's everything. It's everything. Even our little boy, I mean, he loves it. Alex, he's all about it. I always joke with Nick. He said Bob before he said Dad.
Isn't that something? There we go. They are so cute.
Alex Hankins is 4 years old, the son of CRIs, the best of the best Bob Ross ambassadors. Could Bob be part of Alex Hankins' destiny? Nick and Ada handed Alex a Bob Ross painting book recently to find out.
He was playing around with that, and he looked up at me and he said, "I'm good at painting. I'm good at painting like Dad and Bob." And I was like, "Yeah, you are."
He's humble too.
He's humble as well, yeah.
Maybe not humble, but confident.
Because if you have a little success with this, then you got enough confidence to go and you try something a little harder and a little harder. And that's the way we learn.
He loves watching Bob, and he loves coming to the workshop. That's his Saturday thing. He loves being able to go to the workshop. And all I have to do is say, you know, it's Saturday, and he'll say, "Oh, workshop."
One common trait among all the CRIs I talk to is humility. Being a Bob Ross instructor isn't a competition. Like one of Nick's other idols, Mr. Rogers, says, it's about finding the helpers, helping others learn to paint like Bob, maybe even to think like him too, and helping each other. Considering this is already their everything, I ask how much more Nick and Ada Hankins could take on at this point in their Bob Ross experience, how much more help they could offer.
Our thing is, you know, anytime something will get thrown at us, we're always like, we'll figure it out. We'll figure
it out.
That's
our motto.
And we always do. That's the thing. We always do. So, you know, will we do more? You know, probably. probably. We'll probably figure out a way to add more. We always
and the,
do.
And the how will, the facilitation part of that will get figured out. And it always seems
it
to.
Always
I just always leave that to the fates to decide. And it works. We just go headlong into it. And then we arrive at the destination somehow.
That's it.
We'll figure it out. We'll get it done. We'll leave the rest to the universe. It's kind of how Nick and Ada led their own separate lives before developing their motto as a couple. I've heard the same from the folks I've talked to on this podcast. Some of the folks closest to Bob, some leading an army of teachers willing to share their experience, their passion, and their joy. Lots have dealt with adversity, overcome obstacles, taken some hits, some detours. And that's what they're all still saying. We'll figure it out. We'll get it done. We'll leave the rest to the universe. I've been saying a lot of those same things to myself while making The Joy of Bob Ross. But isn't that what Bob Ross has been saying to all of us? To them, to me, to you, for decades?
Figure it out in your mind and do the tree that's farthest away first. And it's gorgeous. You can do it. You can do it. Just begin looking, making determinations. Because that's what painting is all about. It should make you feel good about yourself and about the world. Make you appreciate all of God's wonderful creations. But just enjoy it. Whatever feels good, do it. If it feels good and it doesn't hurt anybody else, then it's all right.
Watch Nick Hankins keep the Bob Ross dream alive and paint along with him on the Bob Ross YouTube page and at bobross.com. Look at that old clock on the wall. It tells me we've got a finished podcast episode. I want to thank my guests, Nick and Ada Hankins. Big thanks to James Shapiro at Jansen Media and Bill Shakespeare for helping add some color to this almighty episode. And of course, all the love to Bob Ross. Bob, we did a dozen episodes. We made a podcast all about you.
It's one of the most fantastic ideas we've ever come up with.
Support your local public television station. Say thanks for giving us Bob Ross and the Joy of Painting. If you want to see your paintings, use hashtag PaintLikeBobRoss. Bob Ross certified instructors are the only ones that know how to teach you Bob's world-famous painting method. Don't settle for second best. Find a local CRI at bobross.com and then click Take a Class. Maybe you got your own Bob Ross story to tell, huh? Leave us a message at 866-FANBRUSH or email it to us at podcast@bobross.com. I'm Ron Scalzo. The Joy of Bob Ross is produced by Lonely Weekend Productions in partnership with Bob Ross, Inc. Bob Ross name and images are registered trademarks of Bob Ross, Inc.